1967, we visit Killinick and the Church of St Enoch in South Wexford. There's an interesting aspect to Killinick, which is that just over the road from the church is the former rectory of Kilscoran Union, which is now the place where the curate assistant of Wexford and Kilscoran Union lives. That parish is one of those places where truly we have team ministry, and we probably should evolve into more of that in various forms over the coming years. But as we think of places where there are team ministries and where the second priest lives either near to the incumbent or some distance away, as in this particular case, we pray for all who work in teams, those who plan for the development of team ministries, perhaps among us, those who are curates in our diocese, whether newly ordained or coming among us from rich experience of ministry in other places, as they make their initial contribution to enrich our common life here. Back to 1967. On visits to Northern Ireland before the Troubles, one thing I wanted to see was the Armagh Planetarium, opened in 1967. And I wonder how many listeners have been there. It's in the grounds of the much older observatory, famously associated with astronomers who were also TV pundits like Patrick Moore. And the observatory was itself a presence in Armagh since the 1790s. It was part of the great scheme of the Church of Ireland primate, Robinson, who in the days of the wealth of the 18th century Irish establishment used his wealth and his primatial role really to rebuild Armagh gloriously in a planned and elegant way. He wanted to beautify the city and endow it as a place of scholarship and inquiry. So also he was responsible for the wonderful library near the cathedral. And to this day, the Archbishop of Armagh is the honorary chair of the governors of the observatory, which is a wonderful aspect to his ministry, and that observatory bears on its entrance the inscription, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Armagh Observatory is a reminder that churchmen were the greatest pioneers of modern science and astronomy, that they considered it truly to be part of divine learning, even divinity. The moment Christians become nervous about scientific inquiry, scientific evidence, scientific truth, the more they unnecessarily protect and cosset their idea of God and deprive themselves of the opportunity to probe the mind of God at the heart of his creation. They forget the great insight of the 18th century hymn, which proclaims how the movements of the planets sing, and I quote, "In reason's ear, forever singing as they shine, the hand that made us is divine." Armagh Observatory, just like the distinguished scientists I've met in my time, and I include among them the Nobel laureate E.T.S. Walton, who was a very senior retired professor in Trinity College at the time I was chaplain there. People like that taught me never to fear, insofar as I could comprehend it, of course, the conversation between science and God. I'm no scientist, but I'm willing to trust the wisdom of scientists who find a connection between their work and the life of faith. Not all scientists are believers, but neither are all historians, my own discipline. And scientists do not seem to me, in fact, to have among their ranks a disproportionate number of enemies of religion. An old friend, now dead, who was an astronomer at Dunsink, near Dublin, once said that all his reflections began and ended with, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The motto of Armagh Observatory, indeed, is the same. And how marvellous to be in a church whose primate is, by obligation of office, the governor of an observatory. What a sound message that gives.